good morning, everyone. So honored to have you here in part four of our series, Fully Equipped. We're going to have an awesome time together today, and so honored that you chose to be with us and spend some time with us. I hope that you'll stay through the end of this message because it's an awesome message today. I just want to say, as I say every week, we miss you, we love you, we're praying for you, we stand together with you, and look forward to seeing you again soon. In the state of North Carolina, we are still in a pretty stringent shutdown until September the 11th. I'm hoping that we can come back together on September the 13th, Sunday, September the 13th. Please help me pray about that. And we are continuing to evaluate weekly, but just help us continue to pray about that. And hopefully we can be together again soon. I want to jump right into this series today. And by the way, we just concluded 21 days of prayer, and what a great time we had just going after God. And can I tell you, that's just to whet your appetite. We're in day 22, so I pray that it continues on, that those 21 days just kind of launch you into a lifestyle of praying daily and seeking God's face, because we know that we have a prayer answering God. He is with us. He can do great and mighty things, and he is doing great and mighty things, and we give him all the praise for all he is doing. So let me jump right into this series today as we are looking at the series entitled Fully Equipped. And we're taking the Apostle Paul's instructions to the church in Ephesus as a basis for this series as we break out seven areas of our life that are vital to our spiritual survival, our spiritual development and growth, and to our purpose on this earth. So let's pick it up from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against, or so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." And Paul goes on to give a very descriptive analysis of what we need to equip ourselves with. And so the goal of this series is for us to become fully equipped so that we can be, as he described, strong in the Lord. That's in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our life is hid in him. We can have an authentic, real, vital relationship with Jesus. And then number two, so that we can be strong in the Lord's mighty power. So while a lot of things are going on in this world, we can stand strong in his mighty power. We stand not in our weakness, but in his strength. And he is made strong in our weakness. So we can take courage that we operate and live and move and breathe and have our being in his mighty power. And then third, that we stand strong in our stance against the enemy. And there is an enemy. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is not with a party. Our battle is not with a person, but our battle is against an enemy who has waged war against the human race. And so we need to understand that. But we can take encouragement from 2 Corinthians, where Paul told the church of Corinth, "For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so we discover that Jesus has provided for us everything that we need to take our stand. So let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, again, Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled about your waist," or around your waist. In week one, we talked about this principle of truth, that it's foundational. If you missed that, again, please go on Facebook or YouTube and just check that out. And it's going to be a benefit to you because we are living in a day when truth is falling in the street, and we need truth. That's foundational. And then he goes on to say, "With the breastplate of righteousness in place." And we talked about that in part two. We talked about the importance of righteousness, that we protect our heart from which the issues of life flow out of our heart by standing in righteousness, his righteousness, but then also walking in the righteousness of God as he leads and guides our life. So he says, so you have a breastplate of righteousness in place. And then he goes on to say, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We talked about that last week. And I just want to reiterate it. We talked about believing on Jesus and also following Jesus. And those two things produce peace in our lives. So I want to reiterate that it talks about peace and associates that with our feet. That is that our walk, and then when we're walking according to the gospel of peace, in other words, our walk, the way we live our life, if we live according to his word, so his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, it will produce for us a path of peace. And oftentimes we rob ourselves of that peace when our feet stray or deviate from God's word. And so I know a lot of people who have a lot of things and yet they lack peace. And yet I know others who walk through major storms and they experience peace. So it's not the storm that robs us of peace, but it's when we fail to stand on God's word, when we fail to live according to the gospel of peace. That's so key that we understand that. So the good news is that we can experience peace when we fully follow God's word. And that sets up today's message as we are going to talk about faith. I can't think of anything I love to talk about more than this topic of faith. In fact, when I was 16 years old, my first message was about faith. Faith is the victory. And I want us to know that today. We can experience victory when we put our faith in God and in his word. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The New King James Version puts it this way, above all. I like how that's worded, above all. So all of these things are important that we're talking about. And then he puts even more emphasis on this area. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So this one is huge. This one is vital to our survival. Remember, we're talking about being fully equipped, putting on the whole armor of God. Today, as we deal with COVID-19, we're masking up, we're washing up, we're distancing. My wife shared this with me, something she pulled off of Facebook this week that says this, there isn't a mask big enough to protect us from everything going on in the world today. We need to suit up with the whole armor of God. I said, yes, I can use that. We're talking about that on Sunday. So we're talking about being fully equipped, putting on the whole armor of God. And this one is especially important because Paul says, above all. So this one should really get our attention. And then he goes on to say, he has that word all again, where he says, you will be able to quench all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Now, if we can quench all the fiery attacks and the arrows of the evil one, then we need to give special attention to this. So let's talk about this. Let's first of all understand what this description is of the shield of faith. So I want to give you a little bit of information here. The shield of faith. The Roman shield alluded to here is a large oblong shield, about 2.5 by 4 feet. And so it was about the size of a refrigerator door. This wasn't some little shield that just moved around. This was a huge shield, about the size of a refrigerator door. And this was at a time, from what scholars say, the average height was just over 5 feet. So this was a large shield that gave a great deal of protection. And similarly, faith shields believers from many troubles. These troubles are compared to darts. Darts are an especially helpful illustration as a weapon of Satan. This is not one of hand-to-hand combat. It is a projectile. By nature, it is launched from a distance to strike its mark unexpectedly. It appears today that the enemy is hurling everything he's got in his arsenal. But listen, everyone, his arsenal is still packed with the same fiery darts he's used for centuries. Like a dart, strong temptations and sinful desires come upon us suddenly. Sin seeks to pierce your defenses and inflame lust and pride and anger and contempt or any number of sinful reactions. But listen to this. The Roman soldier was not only up against darts, but these darts were often set on fire before being sent out, making them even more dangerous. These were not quite darts as we think of them, or were simply lit arrows. They were more like specially prepared spears that were lit before being launched and designed to spread flammable liquid on the enemy. And so to combat these flaming darts, shields were wet down before battle. If they were not, the shields would be set ablaze. So similarly, when temptation to sin hits their mark, they can set our minds and our hearts ablaze with wicked thoughts and desires. And this is why we must use the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the fiery darts. When temptations come, are we going to believe what the devil says, or are we going to believe God in faith? And this is what took place in the garden. Would Eve believe what the serpent told her, that God was withholding something good from her, or would she believe God? Are we going to believe that any sin will be more satisfying to us than obedience to God? The shield of faith extinguishes the fiery darts when we trust the promises of God. Can I say that again? The shield of faith extinguishes the fiery darts when we trust the promises of God. When we know that He is exceedingly more precious than anything that may be sacrificed in His service. And so today we must stand strong in our faith. Let me share this one that came to me this week as well that says this: faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. Faith takes you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain, but faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't always take you out of the storm, but faith calms you in the midst of the storm. And so we need to understand faith and how important that is. And let's just talk about what faith is. According to Hebrews chapter 11 and 1, it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's described here as a substance. So faith is tangible. It's different than hope. It's very tangible. It's what we hope for, but it's something we've gained within us. We don't have it yet. We don't see it yet, but within us, there's a tangible substance of faith. It's as good as we've got it in our hand because we've already got it in our heart. In fact, I believe that many of the things of God has to be birthed in our heart before it's in our hand, right? Before we see it, before it's reality. There's a substance that it's very, very real. According to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says this: God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. To each one has dealt a measure of faith. So we all have been given this gift of faith. Now, so we have faith. So the problem often, though, is not that we don't have faith, but it's that we have faith in the wrong things. A lot of times we have more faith in the problem than in the problem solver. So we all have faith. So it's not a question of having faith, but where your faith lies, where your faith lies. And the enemy's tactics is to redirect your faith, to destroy your faith in God, to destroy your faith in God's truth and deceive you into believing a lie. This is what he did way back in the garden. His tactic was to get us to believe a lie instead of the truth. And it's been his tactic ever since. It's still in his arsenal today, to deceive us, to say, well, God doesn't really mean this. And God's word isn't really saying what it's saying is saying, right? And that's been his tactic. And we have fallen for a lie, and therefore we are in the mess that we're in today because of being deceived and not having faith in God's word. To Peter, the Bible gives us an insight, because to Peter, Jesus said in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. He wants you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to pull you away. And he says that he may sift you as wheat. But he says, but I have prayed for you that your, look at this, that your faith should remain. So what was it that Satan was after? He was after Peter's faith, that the faith of Peter would be diverted, but there would no longer be in God, but his faith would be aligned with a lie instead of the truth. And so I believe that's still the trick of the enemy today. He wants to isolate us. We're doing this social distancing, which is literally physically distancing ourselves from one another. And I believe that's a tactic of the enemy to isolate us. In fact, when he came in the garden, he didn't come to Adam and Eve together. He came when Eve was by herself, came to Eve first, got her alone and deceived her. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded that when we are alone, that's when the enemy comes in. But can I remind you that you are not alone, but you can stand according to God's word and God is with you. You can stand firm. You can defend yourself against the lies of the enemy, and you can raise up your faith in God's word. And I would encourage you, don't even entertain the lies. Don't allow the enemy to come in and to sow lies. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Just don't give him a place. Don't give him room. Don't give him room in your thinking. When he comes with his lies, let the Spirit of God remind you what the Word of God says. In fact, that's why we need to be in the Word of God, to know what the Word of God says. And we counter his lies with God's truth. A red flag goes up when we hear a lie, when something's wrong, because the Spirit of God raises up a standard within us against the enemy who comes in like a flood, right? Ephesians 4:27, I love how it puts it in the NIV. It says, do not give the devil a foothold. And I think sometimes that's what we do. We give the devil a foothold. Don't even entertain him. And Romans chapter 13, let me share this with you. Verses 12 through 14 says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. I believe that the day is at hand, that it's time for us to rise up and believe the Lord in the midst of what's going on in our world today. We need believers to stand strong in the faith. And he says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, but in strife and not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So he says, don't make any provision for the flesh. In other words, don't give an opportunity. Don't give an opportunity to the enemy, but equip yourself with the shield of faith. Equip yourself with a shield of faith. I want to give you this scripture. It's a very precious scripture to me. In fact, this was the text for my first sermon I ever preached that I mentioned a moment ago. It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I know there's a lot of things we're trying to overcome right now, and things have changed. But listen, he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let me encourage you. You're an overcomer through Jesus. And then he says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's our faith. It's where we decide to put our faith. And then he says, who is he that overcomes the world? So it's not just putting our faith anywhere. Look at this. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that, you're an overcomer. So let me give you a couple of points just to write down this morning. Number one, write this down. Very basic, very simple, but very profound. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Those were the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. And Hebrews 11 and 6 goes on to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we honor God with our faith. When we express our faith to him, when we act in faith, when we live our life in faith in God, when we don't cower in fear, we don't allow doubt to overwhelm us, but rather we stand firm in God's word. So I'm going to encourage you, have faith in God. Number two, write this down. Have faith in God's word. Have faith in God's word. And those two have to go together. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how is it we put our faith in the right place? Is that when we hear the word of God and we receive the word of God. So that's when I say, again, stay in God's word and have faith in God's word. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So let me encourage you, have faith in God and have faith in God's word. Last Wednesday, we were on a Zoom meeting and we were discussing last Sunday's message and also this coming Sunday's message. And Dr. Femi Balogun shared with me his thoughts on how that we are oftentimes robbed of our peace because we doubt God's word. And I tell you that when we need to receive God's word, have faith in God's word, it'll produce faith, it'll produce peace in our life. It'll also give us victory to overcome whatever obstacles we are going up against. And by the way, speaking of Zoom meeting, I want to encourage you, be sure and join us. If you're part of this Crosspoint family, be sure and connect with us on our Zoom meeting on Wednesdays as we just really have a wonderful time spending time together and discussing the word, encouraging one another and praying for one another. So receive God's word. We need to receive God's word. And when we receive God's word and we walk according to his word and live according to his word, it's like building your life upon a rock. I love the words of a song that we used to sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. But we can stand firm. You can experience victory in life when you have faith in God and we have faith in his word. Listen, I know there's a lot of things, a lot of arrows maybe be throwing at us right now, that the enemy's throwing all kinds of things in our angle. It seems like it's at us coming at every angle. I want to encourage you, stand strong in God's word. Don't you doubt God's word. God's word is true. God's word will stand the test of time. You stand true to God and to God's word. We're living in troublesome times, but listen, that's what faith is for. Faith is not for when the sun's shining and everything's going our way. Faith is when we have these challenging times. Faith is for the time of COVID-19. Faith is for the time when there's unrest all around the world and in our nation. Listen, faith is for those times when we're being tested and tried. That's what faith is for. And so we have to believe in the dark what we've heard in the light. And it gives us opportunity to exercise our faith, to put our faith in God, to rest our faith in our God, because we know with God, listen, all things are possible. Let me give you this phrase. Faith is the overcoming principle in a world of conflict. And the greatest conflict I think we have is when our soul is in conflict. Our soul is unresolved. It's unsettled. There's a separation between us and God that robs us of our peace and destroys us of being able to walk in victory. Listen, but Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap when he went to the cross and died for us. And he took our hand and God's hand and he put us together because Jesus resolved the conflict. Jesus took our place for us and that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's amazing. It's amazing. But that's what Jesus offers for us, that he's able to come and resolve that conflict. And when we put our faith, when we exercise, and this is the most important thing we can do with our faith, when we put our faith in him, and trust in him and accept what he did for us and receive him as our Savior. Listen, that's when peace comes. That's when you can walk in a new way. And God wants that for you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And that's what Jesus offers for you. And I want to tell you, I hope you would receive that today. My heart, my prayer is that you will accept this gift that God gives you of life through Jesus Christ, through faith in him and what he did. And if that's you today and you say, you know, that's me, that's what I need to do. I need to put my faith in God. I would love to lead you in a prayer where you can do that right now. Can I tell you, you're one heartfelt prayer away from everything changing in your life. You're not watching by accident right now. And I want to lead you in this prayer. And all you have to do is just mean this prayer. I'm going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. Can I just pray with you right now? Come on, let's pray together. Let's pray this prayer. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay my sin debt so that I could be set free, Jesus, thank you for dying for me so that I could live for you. Forgive me for going my own way. Today, I turn to you and I give you my life. Come on, say that again. I give you my life. I accept you into my heart and into my life. I surrender and give you the control of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I accept you as my Savior and as my Lord. And I will follow you with all of my heart as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.